Okay, so we can begin this evening's meeting of the Finance and Facilities Committee, November 14th, 2011, 6:30 PM here at Forest Pond Elementary School. Would you please take a moment to review the minutes of the October 11th Finance Committee meeting?
Since that was a meeting of the whole committee, also get approved in our normal board, or?
They are approved here, and I believe they are on our agenda.
In a board text?
No. October 24th, meeting of the whole is on our agenda for approval as well.
Okay, that's why I didn't know.
I'm good.
Okay, Dan and Steve?
Yes.
Minutes are good? Okay, so the first item then for this evening's discussion is the initial review of administrative procedure 4.20, fiscal philosophy and the administrative procedure. We have been asked, the administration has been asked by the Board of Education to take a look at administrative procedure 4.2, which is fiscal philosophy, and begin to establish or reestablish some minimum and maximum policies regarding fund balance and the accumulation of fund balance. I've indicated in a report, board report, there are three items that are of particular interest in regards to this change in language of AP 4.2, primary of which would be item three, the administration should provide the Board of Education with a balanced budget. That's not obviously different. But when certain situations occur, when might a less than balanced budget be occur? And that in these particular instances would be if particular capital expenditures within a given fiscal year might be greater than what we ordinarily expect, or might or a particular project may be necessitated to be completed within a fiscal year. So that might be one instance where we're taken beyond a break even or a surplus fiscal year. And the other one might be where the state or federal government has decided to not fund a particular program, in which case we would make an analysis over the given fiscal year to determine whether or not the district would continue to provide local support to a particular program. We were then asked to establish what would be the operation, what would be the unreserved fund balance. Unreserved balance of what we call the operating funds, which is the education, courts, working cash, O&M, and transportation, is that it should be maintained at 33% of operating expenditures. And this would be done to maintain the highest financial rating as offered by the state of Illinois, as well as our bond houses, William Blair and Company. And then also what it would take if we were not to maintain a fund balance greater than 10%, what type of procedures would be put in place to allow us to get back to that minimum funding level. We were also asked to develop a plan if fund balances actually get to a level greater than 33%, and how that particular program would work. If we had a fund balance less than 33%, we would create a budget plan that would be implemented to increase the fund balance to the level of 33% of operating expenditures. If a one-time expenditure is greater than what we ordinarily allow for, we would provide the board with a written rationale for allowing this particular expenditure, and then take it to the Finance Committee as well as the Board of Education for approval. In this fund balance policy, as per current board policy, the first installment or the early installment of property taxes, which we typically receive in May and June, are accrued to the what we call the appropriate fiscal year rather than the fiscal year in which they were attended. So if we receive property taxes in May and June, that accrual is made as of June 30th to the following fiscal year. And then finally, if the fund balance exceeds 33% of operating funds, what might we do with those excess reserves? And that couple of suggestions were included in this report, where we would develop a facility recommendation and accumulate dollars for future facility needs. It also might entail infrastructure needs, roofs and parking lots, whatever the case may be. And then what were to happen if we did not, if we accumulated in excess of that 33%, and a couple of recommendations were made that a rebate of the excess reserve to taxpayers and the supporting communities, and then a decision might be made or recommended that we would maintain operating fund balances above that certain 33% factor so as to possibly identify future projects or to identify what we might do with those expenditures that are greater than 33%. Any questions?
I'd like to point out that policy committee reviewed this policy at our last policy meeting. I then sent it to the finance committee for review and asked if you had any comments or suggestions or ideas that you wanted to share, to please share them with me. And I didn't hear any further comments, so I would like to maybe Erica could capture a little bit what the policy committee talked about, but that was in light of no comments. I thought I'll put it on for discussion this evening. So one of the things for the full board. So one of the things I'd like to at least ask this group to consider right now is how do you want the discussion to proceed this evening with the full board, since it's kind of in two places? And
I guess I missed the finance committee receiving this. Do you know when that happened? Otherwise, I would have given my feedback.
Yeah, it was in Thursday letter.
Yeah, because it came from policy.
I sent it in an email. I sent an email with an attachment, and then I also included it in the Thursday letter.
Because when Sam and I met with Ann and we discussed this, the first thing we talked about was the process we felt would make some sense, and we'd already talked about this with the board and the finance committee, finance facility committee, which was to have at least the policy committee do a review. And I think you all know at our board workshop I had already done a review of some other districts around the area to look at what some of their with similar characteristics and what some of their fiscal philosophy was. So we started some of this conversation in policy based on some of that language, and then Bob Cicerella also provided some of that reviewed it but provided some of that as well. So just to answer Ann's question at a high level, what Sam and I talked about was that we, when we look at administrative procedures, that part of what policy thinks about is not wanting to create a limiting procedure to the extent that there is not some flexibility. And, you know, right now, especially with regard to fiscal issues, we're, you know, working in kind of a month-to-month at least, if not probably a couple of weeks with changes. So we agreed that what we had found from other districts certainly aligned with some of our issues and needs. You know, there's some conversation, there's been some conversation around the fact that we have a certainly stable revenue base, which I would say we do, and we're certainly blessed with that, with that part of our revenue. The thing that Sam and I talked about at our meeting was the concern of the things that are not givens necessarily, and Bob's trying to keep us up to speed on that. But that it seemed to make some sense also with regard to what the state, and you can agree or disagree with their template and what they have to put forward, but they have a set of standards by which districts align in order to have our, as Bob mentioned, bond rating, our financial profile, which we all saw in the PMA information, so all that gets factored in. And that certainly was something that Sam and I took into account as well. So at that point, we felt that what was presented made sense. It gave enough optioning around districts running a deficit or having an excess or a reduction that would give the board voice in having conversation around that in the moment, depending on what was going on at the time. And so felt that it was ready for Ann then to forward to the Finance and Facility Committee. So that had to be at least 2 meetings ago, because our policy committee meeting was
And I think
it came out on October 25th. Yeah,
and I think that Sam was looking at maybe less specific language around the percentage.
Mm-hmm.
But he was. I think he was talking about let's make it as general as possible, not as specific. So the question is, do you want to discuss some of your ideas here and then summarize them for the board discussion?
Mm-hmm.
Or wait to the board discussion?
I think Dan was the main impetus for this. I was interested in hearing his comments. I don't think we would have done this if he didn't bring it up.
Yeah, I know it's been talked about on the last board. I guess I'd prefer to wait until we get the full board so I can repeat it.
Okay. I mean that. Yeah. Now let me ask another question then. If we wait to have the discussion, what is your, let's talk process a little bit. What would be your desire if the board has a lot of differing viewpoints on this? I'm guessing they will. Do you want to, because our logical progression would be discussion, action, and part of the reason that it's on for discussion, Dan, was because you wanted to see something in place prior to the adoption of the levy, which does force action relatively quickly. Would you want to follow that, or would you rather take the comments that are made this evening and say, why don't we send it back to finance and policy, maybe even have a, I mean, which is almost the full board, but a joint meeting of finance and policy.
Mm-hmm.
You know, what would you think from your perspective would be the appropriate next step, so at least we have that plan in place before we engage this evening in discussion? Because otherwise, a discussion like this could go on kind of endlessly, and I'm concerned that it may go on to a point where we administratively don't have a lot of direction, mm-hmm, as to what to do for the next step. So I'd like to hear you perhaps provide some insight and direction to us for that.
Mm-hmm.
How quickly could we do a workshop? I mean, this is almost a workshop item.
What? I just think we're rehashing things.
Well, it could be a workshop item. It could be, I mean, you can have a 48 hours notice.
I'm just saying, Dan, if you think we need to spend the requisite amount of time, maybe it's a workshop item.
Yeah, I think it's important for the whole board to hear part of the conversation or thinking that goes underneath versus just throwing out numbers and then having to rehash it. I think it would be better if we could. Maybe we can touch on the discussion this evening, provide comments or see what the comments are, and then see where we go from there.
Mm-hmm.
If, we feel that it's good enough to go ahead as is, or if then decide if it needs to be sent back.
So where would it be sent back to, I guess, is my question.
Probably, like I said, the joint policy and finance. That way we're not bouncing it back and forth, but mm-hmm, as together can rewrite it.
Yeah, I think where Sam and I left this and where I'm looking at this from the role of policy committee is that, we did at least initiate it because you had brought this up, and so I did some initial kind of policy research, but felt that finance and facilities really needs to, put their stamp on it since this is a financial policy, financial administrative procedure. So, I'm certainly willing to sit in on any meeting. I'm sure Sam would be too. I mean, ultimately, when it comes back to policy, then we'll...
It seems like more of a
finance committee decision, and we've weighed in on it, and certainly I probably did more homework on this than I might on other policies already. So I guess my question would be in terms of timing, because this does have impact on the next few meetings in terms of our levy discussion and adoption of levy as well. Is what are you thinking in terms of being able to feel comfortable with that piece?
Well, I mean, it depends on what the board discussion is supposed to be. Is it just supposed to be we stamp this and then I discuss it when they approve it? Or, I mean, if we want, we can do that right now, just discuss, give feedback on this, mm-hmm, policy and talk about it amongst ourselves. I'm okay, mm-hmm, with that, too.
Well, the board's had this since, this was in our Thursday letter, and then it went to finance on October 25th in the email. So, I did not send further comment to Ann or to Bob because we had a common conversation and policy about it. So, I think what we need to hear is...
I had a couple, timing questions on here that I just sent, but I think most of it does come back to us as a board having a discussion. I mean, if we provide feedback, the next logical thing anyway is going to be to discuss it.
Right. I think it's important that the full board discuss it. And from a structural standpoint, what we typically do is finance, discussion, action. Finance, if you tell us this is, we don't want it exactly the way you've got it, we'd like to do something different with it, we usually hash that out here so that when we move forward, we've got your recommendation. Now, granted, this is a little bit different because it's a fiscal philosophy. It's not a, it's a little different action that is required. And so I do think it needs full board discussion. And so if we aren't going to discuss it here, that's fine. And I think I'm hearing...
I just don't want to discuss more about discussing it than actually discussing it.
I want to know what in here... I'm with you, Sarah. That was well said. I want to know if what's in here is not tenable, if it's a no-go, if it's a non-starter. I mean, I want to know specifically, this number isn't right, or I disagree with this. I mean, very specifically, because if this is going to impact some of our next steps with our other financial decisions to make, then I am concerned about timing on that, because we're... we have a timeline we have to follow. So I would want to hear pretty specific, feedback.
Well, then let's talk about it now, and we'll talk about it later.
Can I ask a clarifying question? And I'm going to direct it to Bob. And in terms of some of the percentages in here, do you have a reference or a point of reference from a national organization, from a state organization, that says that these ratios are recommended or the standard?
Well, obviously, every district has a different set of thresholds in terms of what's acceptable and not acceptable. Generally speaking, in my organization, the Illinois Association of School Business, they set a sort of a minimum threshold, 33% of operating expenditures for a minimum fund balance.
Mm-hmm. And that translates, Bob, into at least what I read was about 4 months of operating expenses.
About one-third a year.
Yeah.
That's typically what we hear. But again, circumstances change from district to district.
Mm-hmm. And Dan did send questions today to Bob asking, is it the June 30th tax receipts removed or not removed? Yes, they're removed. I think Bob's already answered that. I think you asked where the 33% comes from. And then
does it include the June installment of taxes?
Right.
No,
right.
It does not.
Right.
It's accrued back to the forward to the next fiscal year.
Right. And then
it's the fund balance on June 30th is the percentage of the
payments. Say that again, Al.
I'm trying to understand what date do you pick to see where you measure up against this box?
It runs fiscal year to fiscal year. So ours runs July 1st of, let's say, 2011 to June 30th of 2012.
Right.
So they have to pick the end of a fiscal period, and that's when ours ends.
So
June 30th of each year.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. The accrued, whatever the accrued balance is at that point.
Because your point, I think, in some of this conversation has been there are districts that take those June dollars and assign it to current versus where it needs to go, which is future state. So we do not, right. We've never done that.
No.
It's not our board
policy
practice, and that's,
And then I think the third question you asked, Dan, that Bob needs a little more time to answer was what, and I don't know if you intended to pick a month, May or June.
I wanted to know where's
our lowest point.
No. If we put this policy in place and we applied it retroactively to previous years, what would that number be?
Well, first of all, you'd have to identify the
date. I see.
Date is always the
That's
end of
the question.
Year.
I don't think we understood that question.
So if you say it's June 30th, is the date we're going to measure ourselves against this bar?
Well, let's just say that's the date we close our books. And you need some place, a set place and time when you're going to close your books and provide analysis, both from a historical perspective as well as moving forward. So we close our books June 30th. That's where we set the end of our fiscal year, and that's when we set our financial parameters.
So it's June 30th.
That's the end of our fiscal year.
And what was it for the last 5 years?
Right.
Well, we could have done that much easier then. what we thought you wanted was, where was our lowest point, and what was our fund balance then?
No, I just wanted to see so we could show people, hey, we had this policy in place, and so many here's where we would be.
And, mm-hmm. and a lot of that information is in the gap.
Mm-hmm. We've never been near 33% in the last 10 years.
What's it?
We haven't been there 33% in the last 10 years, so you're thinking historically somehow this would affect it? Fund balance.
It's just knowledge.
Somebody, I want to say, okay, we're picking 33%. Here's where we've been for mm-hmm. years.
Well, if you've got
that, the AFRs have the historical accrued fund balances.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well,
Well, the CAFR doesn't necessarily show. It shows 1 year compared to the previous year. Mm-hmm. If you wanted to look at where fund balances are set or have been historically on this evening's PMA presentation, that is the end of your accrued financial data in there.
Mm-hmm. And Dan, just so that I...
It goes back
several years ago.
But
yeah.
Not 10 years.
Yep. So just so that I understand this, Dan, just being, as you said, being able to present this, that point at the end of our fiscal year identifies what in terms of the 33% number, or the 3325, whatever that number is. What does that June 30th show us?
That's what I'm hearing is that's the date that we mm-hmm. hit a button, the number spits out, and we see where it sits. And so I think it might be helpful maybe to have that.
Accrued expenses mm-hmm. can come in after June 30th and be logically associated with the other fiscal year.
That's why we can't give you we couldn't give you that number on June 30th because it's an accrued number, so which has then our audit is, you know, all of those things all happen after the fact. So
right.
The actual date around which we have that number is around now. When we finish the audit, we finish the AFR, and, you know.
Mm-hmm. I mean, it's as of that date. I mean,
it's as of that date. Mm-hmm. Correct.
It's correct.
But we don't know it.
Going back to
we only know cash on that date. Yeah. June 30th, we know cash, what we have in the bank.
The point is just some clarification around that so that somebody doesn't come in at some random time.
Sure.
And you're violating your policy.
Sure.
Mm-hmm. Just some clarification. Yeah.
And I read the policy, and it strikes me that this is something that we're striving for. We're striving to get up to this level.
Well, no, it says shall be maintained at under item 5. So there's a declaration, I suppose, of sorts that we're saying this is a safe number based
on the recommended number.
Yeah, recommended number.
It's nothing is cast in stone. You know, again, I think Steve's made this point in the past, but I'll just make it. This is an administrative procedure. It's really a guideline for the board. It is subject to change, you know, whenever the board should choose to change it or alter it. So this really, you know, is the result of, can we have more parameters? Can we have a little bit more structure around those things which are of value to us and that we want to use as a guidepost? So as it's written, the 33% is a guidepost that says, okay, when you hit this mark, a set of decisions takes effect. When you fall below that mark, another set of decisions takes effect. And do you agree with that set of decisions? You know, so it's really about processes as opposed to mandates or you will do this or this or this.
So, Dan, I think I have a better understanding of what you were saying. And I might suggest some language that would say, as of June 30th on a fully accrued basis. So you set that date out there and you tell the reader of this document it's on a fully accrued basis. Because otherwise, if you were to get our June 30th financial statement that we put up, which is on a cash basis, we would be significantly higher than a fully accrued basis.
Right.
So that might be some language that would further sort of hem in those expectations of those those thoughts, I guess.
I think this conversation came up because there was discussion around what's the trigger point that we start to have a conversation around what to do with dollars, either programs that might be in jeopardy or if there's funding to be used for other things. And so for me, this is, I suppose, it's certainly about the number. At this point, it's 33%, but it's more about that it allows for the conversation to be held, and that from the previous board discussion to this board discussion now is really what we were trying to accomplish. So I guess my question would be, did this accomplish that?
Mm-hmm. Well, and that can be, that's maybe a really good introduction to it this evening with the full board, would be to look at it that way.
Again, just from a clarification standpoint, the 33% is something that, I know we're not there currently, so it's something, for policy, it's something we're striving to attain.
That would be the kind of the optimum.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And if we're not, so it opens the door for a discussion about why are we not there, what are our plans to get there, if we're not going to get there, why are we not going to get there.
And if we've gotten there, what should we do about that?
Right. Okay. And that I think that makes sense. I like Bob's comment about further clarification of 33% and make it, you know, subject to the to the fully accrual gap number.
Well, I think it's important that you set a date so you can identify when the books are being closed and then how you're going to recognize the various revenues expenditures that may be caught in between fiscal years. So as of June 30th, on a fully accrued basis, and understanding that we typically don't receive those numbers till about mid-November. Mm-hmm. Any other questions or comments regarding administrative procedure 4.20?
One thing that I found confusing on here was, I'm wondering, I think there's a range, but I wasn't sure if it was saying to be between 10 and 33%.
We didn't say that.
On page 5, on subpoint 5, it says, let's see, to maintain, right?
Well, it says under no circumstances should be less than 10%. And then it talks about if you're under 33, how you achieve up to 33. I guess I'm worried about having about the ability to hit a specific number and all the rigor and details that comes with that. And if instead there should be some sort of a range that says as long as you're within the range, you're okay.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Because the way it's written, it says, "shall be maintained at."
Right.
Mm-hmm.
So that's a hard metric.
Mm-hmm. So suggesting that the metric is softer.
Right.
Dan, why? If I could ask you, what's your thought process in terms of having the metric a more of a range than a hard number?
Because of the fuzziness that can occur with some of our revenues, you know, I mean, I'm not talking like a huge range, but, you know, a tight enough range that we feel comfortable with, but not so constrained that Bob and Phyllis are spending hours trying to allocate certain things to, you know, to the final sentence. That's what I was thinking. I think it makes it easier instead of trying to hit a hard number, because there's some of these triggers in here that says that you're, you know, if you're above a certain amount, you have to do this. If you're below it, you have to do this. If you have some sort of range that you can kind of land into, then you don't have to worry about doing some of those other triggers until you bump up against that range.
Mm-hmm.
From a staff perspective, is that something that would be useful to you guys to have a range as opposed to hard metrics?
It would probably be easier for us to work with on a day-in and day-out basis, because maybe the way it's written now, at 33%, that might send us into a specific action And so we would need to make a recommendation, like when we recognize that particular percentage. And I think the important thing to point out here is that these targets are meant just to provide sort of a placeholder or a recommendation to the board to allow us to continue and develop deeper conversation about what we might do with, quote unquote, the accumulation of excess funds.
Mm-hmm.
We need to look at this more prospectively, more broadly, and that is, you know, there are several things we can do. Do we specifically set aside a dollar value for capital projects? Do we specifically set aside certain dollars for a building? Do we specifically set aside dollars for abating or refunding taxes to property owners? I mean, those are serious, long-term conversations that really you can't fit into a conversation that's going to take place in the months of November, just prior to a levy in December. I think those are conversations that will provide us with some guidelines of how we look at fund balances and how we look at next year's budget. For me to come in and say, okay, well, we've hit 33% on November 14th. What do we do with our tax levy on December 12th? I think that would provide us with some flexibility. We understand that we may have hit a particular threshold, but let's look at these numbers carefully and present a plan in terms of how we intend to expend those accumulated dollars, whether it's for a capital project or a refund of taxes or whatever the case may be. I hate to try to make a decision when you're just trying to recognize these numbers now at this time of year and we have a levy to react to in the next 30 days.
Is it reasonable to think, to assume that the staff could put together a range and a justification of the range for the next week? So, I mean, I think Dan's thinking that we want the range. I think staff thinks that tweak of the policy might make sense. Maybe is it reasonable to assume that you could come back to us, finance, and say this is a recommendation for this range, and this is the justification of that?
I would suggest that we could make a recommendation, but to try to put it in a 2-week or a 4-week type of time frame, I think that's expecting it a bit too much. Not because of what we can do as a finance department, but rather the long-term implications of making a particular decision of what you might do with fund balance.
Are you talking about maybe two different things? First thing being, Drew, your request is, can we, instead of using 33% as the ceiling, provide a recommendation for a range?
Right.
The second thing, which Bob is talking about, and I think is relevant but different, and correct me if I'm wrong, Bob, is that when we hit a marker, let's just, whatever the marker might be, maybe it's below, maybe it's above, that a plan would be developed to make a recommendation about that below or above, but that if we find that, you know, we get our accrued numbers in November, that to expect that we'd be able to make a plan for the levy in December is a very short turnaround time. And that's what I think you're talking about. So probably it would be more appropriate that you're making a plan for the following fiscal year, actually, that you're going to move forward mm-hmm. with the current plan while recognizing that you've either fallen below or fallen above, and so your next budget is going to address some of that, or you're going to bring some recommendations mm-hmm. in, but that, you know, a 2-week window in which time to make a plan might be too short. I think
the policy does specify, you know, that if you hit the marker either below or above, there these are things come into place.
It doesn't have a timeline on that plan. I think that's probably a good thing. Right.
Yeah. But I you're right. I think they're really two very mm-hmm. different things.
Right.
In terms of just putting a range together, yeah. and some justifications yeah. for the range, hopefully that's not too much of a.
Oh no,
I'm not,
from a time perspective, it's not. No.
Yeah, I'm not asking that we do this, you know, to put timeline on the above and below.
Right.
But in terms of just doing the range, is that something that staff could do for the next meeting?
Just identifying the range, yes.
Identify the range and the thought process or the justification of the range.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
What do you think, Dan? Does that make sense to you?
No. I'm just looking for a range, you know, so that fits around some number.
Okay.
I mean, if they could do it, that's great.
Well, where's the number? I mean,
well,
they're
right now,
the ones that.
I'm reading a 10 to 33% range.
Mm-hmm.
But with a hard band around the 33. So I guess I'm looking for, you know, something that's within like 5%, somewhere 5% wide range.
So like,
which would you
like 27 to 33%?
But doesn't
like
that still trigger? Doesn't that do the same thing? But now we've just caused it to be lower. Like I'm unclear on the reason that a range would be provided by Bob and his team is because they're the day-to-day stewards of the budget. You know, they're the hands-on people. They're the how. So in some ways, this AP needs to ultimately be recommended back to us, and whether or not it makes sense to you in terms of what you deal with on a day-to-day basis. I mean, again, just going back to the whole reason we brought this up, and it's been a 2-year conversation now or longer, is so that the board would have an opportunity to weigh in on some number of options so that the board could have a voice in and ideas around what might happen with those dollars and be able to weigh in on that. To me, that was the purpose of it. So I guess I'm unclear on why.
Well, that was, I think, something that's never fully been closed out is, what is the purposes of the fund balance? And we have, you know, that's something we there. It talks a little bit about it,
uh-huh,
here, but I don't think as a board, you know, we've come to an agreement on here. I just take some umbrage with using it as a land acquisition. There's no dollar band around that for what that could be. It talks about if you lose state funding,
mm-hmm,
you can continue to operate. I think there should be some dollar in there. That if it's some small amount, okay, that's okay. But if it's some larger amount,
mm-hmm,
I think, you know, it should come back to the board to see if that's something that was.
I don't see how you can put all these hypotheticals in a AP.
Yeah.
I mean, it's our job to vote on things as they come to the board, and we'll take each item and work through it as it comes up.
Yeah, those items would come before the board,
right,
Dan, because the expenditures would undoubtedly be greater than $10,000.
Right.
You know, if you're going to buy land, it's going to cost more than $10,000. If you're going to maintain a program, when funding has run out, it will cost more than $10,000. So it would need board approval to.
Well, then maybe we should just take that language out, I guess is what I'm saying.
Well, I think the reason it was put in there was to show, show
what ifs,
and that those conversations, to Bob's point or direct, but it said it would then, those would be those workshop conversations to say, we've got a whatever XYZ program and it costs XYZ amount of dollars. You know, at this point, we've sustained it for 2 years beyond the state funding, which is now dried up completely. What does the board consider? You know, level of importance? Do we keep it going? Do we phase it out? Do we keep half of it? Those are conversations that then we would have. And to me, the rationale for this AP was so that we could show due diligence to having those deeper conversations. But, you know, to use Steve's term, to put hypotheticals in, I think just to me it puts this vice around this that,
well,
I don't think we can cover all the hypotheticals.
Right, but I guess that if you're going to either put them all in or you don't put any of them.
Well, could it be
anything,
though? Then not put any.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, put any. Anyone have a problem with not putting any hypotheticals?
You know.
Okay.
I feel like we. Yeah. We did.
So would all of three come out then?
Yeah.
Because you're saying we would provide you with a balanced budget, except. So. I guess it comes out. This is taken from the language, I believe, of the original AP.
Right.
I just elaborated on it by giving a few more, you know, kind of examples.
So, but let me ask this, and I don't want to belabor this, but you know what? So, if a board, ours or a future board, doesn't like one of the options in here, that doesn't preclude a board from saying, "Here's Plan X," and that board, under those circumstances, whatever they might be, would then need to, you know, go to the administration and say, you know, this is something that's highly critical, it's important to the community, we want to keep this program. It may not be in there, but I don't know that this precludes us from doing that. But to your point, Steve, if you feel like, Dan, it's either all or nothing, and I don't want to put words in your mouth, but that's what I'm hearing.
Well, I just feel that there's ambiguity in there, and so either clarify it or take it.
And that's the point of ambiguity, though, in policies, is that it gives you that leeway, that squishy room to be able to maneuver to do things without somebody coming back and ramming you and saying, well, it doesn't say it in the policy. If you have some ambiguity, if you have language, I mean, that allows you that flexibility to do that. I mean, frankly, I believe that, you know, the exception language and circumstances is important to keep in there, because in the event that they come to us with a not balanced budget, you know, we've at least recognized how, as a board, we're going to identify those things. After sitting here for all these years, I just feel like this was put in there for that exact purpose, because people would make comments that about these things, and it's showing that we're being responsible in addressing those areas where it could become an issue. Again, I think in the event that we have a big program or one of these things occur, we're going to address it, but at least we're putting people on notice that we're addressing it before it even happens. I mean, it's a given that we're going to do it, but...
Well, I guess I would disagree philosophically on the policy part, because I think the purpose of the policy was to clear up ambiguity and give clarity to what our expectations are.
Policy is really, this is an AP, so I just want to make a distinction. This is a procedure, not a policy. Policies are really big, broad, more philosophical statements by their design, and should be. APs are a little bit more specific. But let me ask you a question. If three, which is, you know, what we're discussing right now, if you go to the second page and you look at the first bullet on the second page, if the unreserved fund balances cannot be maintained at the specified levels due to changes in anticipated revenues, the administration will provide the board with an alternate operating recommendations, which could mean maintain, or we want to drop below because we need to do something else. So does that bullet really, in a broad way, do the same thing and just eliminate three?
Yeah, it says to us that, which you would do anyway, come and make recommendations. That would be the expectation of a board.
Point
three. The number three.
On the back page.
On the front. Number three on the front page. And then, if you compare it to the first bullet on the second page, could you just eliminate three?
I don't know.
You could just eliminate three. And then you've got the bullet that is accompanying, you know, if fund balances are reduced.
I mean, if we're honest with ourselves, part of the reason this language got tightened up a little bit or more specific is because of, discussion about abating dollars and, you know, returning dollars, et cetera. And so I think that became part of why we built it in, right?
Right.
Back to Tara's point about wanting to show due diligence to the community. So if that's making us feel like we're, leaving things out and we can't certainly do a laundry list, then, you know, we need to trust that the administrative procedure would kick in with the administration providing recommendations, and that whichever board is seated would then have to, based on situation, decide what to do.
I think Ann brought up a good point. I mean, should we? I think AP is the only one we really board is in Section 2 versus most of the other ones are for the administration itself, shouldn't we instead be changing policy 4.20 versus the 18?
You're saying our board policy section?
Right. Because what I'm hearing is 18 is for the administration. The board sets the policy and the administration writes the AP based on that policy. Mm-hmm. So if our intent is to put a policy in place, we should be addressing the policy itself and not the AP.
Well, and the policy, I believe, is, you know, sets a direction for the budget, the development of the budget, and is focused on creating, you know, using the budget for the best learning environment.
Yeah, it's very broad, high level.
So now, anyone else feel that way? I mean, I'm hearing.
I would need to go back and look at it. I mean, I can't make a decision now. I would need to look at that, Dan.
What do you what? Dan, so I understand. You think the fiscal philosophy concept is better served at the policy level as opposed to a AP level?
Right, because that's an administrative procedure that the administration uses to do as a guideline for their daily work. Instead, as the board would like to have policy.
No, he's getting off.
Just the policy.
And what's is this in keeping with the current policy? Put a fiscal philosophy in?
You know, this is, we've looked at probably 25 districts and found almost none that had either in policy or AP something that would give us insights as to what other districts are doing. One district had financial objectives, which was clearly a part of their administrative manual. It wasn't even identified as procedures. But most of the policies that we were able to locate really were pretty general, although there were a couple that we looked at that looked at fund balances of X percent, and you know, so we used those.
Mm-hmm. So those ones that have percentages, were they listed in the policy?
I'd have to go back and look at my collection to see whether they were APs or whether they were policies.
Yeah.
I think they were policies.
Were they policies?
You know,
I don't know. I can't remember.
Yeah.
Can I make a suggestion then? Is that that this ball should go back to finance? And if there's some recommendation that from the finance committee the policy be written, then that can come back to the policy committee to take a look at. Because I at this point am unclear on what, unfortunately I'm unclear on what we're trying to accomplish with this now. Because I came in with clarity around it.
Right.
But
well, it's a whole other layer of philosophical discussion. So for tonight's purposes, in the board meeting, shall we summarize what we discussed here? Drew, are you comfortable summarizing the nature of our discussion here? And members of the policy committee can pipe in as they, you know.
Yeah, that's okay. I'll do my best.
Okay.
I think that's
I'm happy to pipe in too. I've got some notes here. And then get the whole board's reaction to the discussion we've had, and perhaps can give further direction and then send it back to finance. Does that make sense?
Policy. Where did?
Well, it's got to go back to finance.
Yeah,
finance.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay. Dan, is that?
Yeah, that sounds good.
Does that work for you?
Okay. Steve, that work for you?
The only other item that was on this evening's agenda was some additions and some updates to the 2012 Hadley Parking Lot Stormwater Project. I have some photos up here, but I guess I'll just summarize what occurred. Last Tuesday evening, we had a neighborhood meeting. There were several board members of the administration present to talk about the various options that we've created or that were created in anticipation of reconstructing the Hadley parking lot. Essentially, if you have any report tactics there, the administration is recommending option 5A, which is a complete reconstruction of the parking lot. placing of existing stormwater or of stormwater detention underground, and then also the proposal of alternate A1, which would be to locate a bus drop-off and pickup in the parkway along Glencoe Avenue. We've met with various municipal governmental partners that we have to work with. This has been their sort of point of view, that they would like to see the buses removed from the existing parking lot. And so we've provided with the option 5A as well as the all C1. And then this evening we will we'll be presenting this to the board for discussion with action on November 28th in regards to actually going out to bid. Those bids would be back in mid-January, and then we would start taking action on the approval process. So that's our plan for this evening. I will say that I have commented, we probably had 10 or 12 neighborhood members here. It was a good exchange of questions and answers. And I think there was some relief on their part in terms of our recommendations. I believe that they had a strong belief that buses should be separated as they are in alternate one. And then I think they were happy to see that we were going to address some ongoing stormwater issues that have become a point of contention for a number of years with the district. So we're going to, I do have additional pictures. I don't know that it's necessary to present them this evening, but I can entertain questions either now or again when we get underway with the board meeting.
Was there any preference about above ground versus below ground water detention?
They really only expressed their desires and concerns. Mm-hmm. So runoff was a concern they expressed, which the engineers indicated would not be addressed in above ground detention.
Okay.
Their comment was the only way it really can be addressed and reconstructed parking lot with the recommendations that have been made is with below ground detention.
And then the alternate C1, because they also expressed concerns about having both buses and cars traveling at the same time in the parking lot.
And Bob, I happened to have been at the Churchill PTA meeting that night, and there were a number of residents that were there and couldn't be in two places at once. So they did, they shared some of their concerns with me, the same ones that you just raised, the people of the neighborhood in terms of runoff. But the biggest thing for them was the safety and getting those buses off the street, and how can we do that with Glencoe. And the other thing that they brought up that I hadn't thought about, were these pictures online?
No, not yet. We said we would put them on after tonight's
meeting. Okay. Because that was, that was a question that somebody had asked.
Mm-hmm. The other thing, Bob, just FYI, Friday was a bank holiday, so Gretchen and I had an opportunity to walk over and watch the buses both in the morning and in the afternoon. And organized chaos, I think, was how I would organize. I would explain it. If none of the other board members have seen that, it's probably worth your time to understand that. But there was a fair amount of traffic up and down on Glencoe when the buses were parked on the curb, waiting for the kids to come in and get on the bus. And the thing that struck me was just there was a lot of time from I saw like a rush of kids coming out getting the bus. There was a lag, and then there was another rush. It was odd to me that everybody wasn't kind of streaming out at the same time. But I think. Anyone who has not experienced that would probably appreciate the concept of the C1?
Option 5A with C1, alternate.
The alternate.
Alternate.
The only thing that I think that's going to need to be addressed is we're going to have to relocate all those streets.
Oh, yeah, that's in there. Mm-hmm. Right. Mm-hmm.
There's about a 25-minute period during drop-off in the morning and pick-up in the afternoon where probably the best way it can be described as organized chaos. So any other questions then? And we'll be ending this evening's meeting of the Finance Committee. Thank you.
Thank you, Ben.